The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Tuesday, May 7th, 2024. Guys, we got a lot to talk about tonight. Before we get started, can you do me a favor? Hit that like button, hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button. You guys on Rumble, YouTube, you guys listen on Apple and Spotify, we welcome you to the program tonight. Listen, if you're new, do me a favor. Let me know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. We're going to kick it off tonight. We're going to talk about this bird flu thing, how this is continuing to spread across America, and what this could potentially mean going down the road. Even I wouldn't be surprised if something majorly shifts right around the election pinnacle, or the peak of the election, right around October, maybe September, October, around in the fall months. Before we get started, guys, we do have a free app. We encourage you to download it today. This is how you keep up with our ministry, our headlines, all of our podcasts. Everything's going to be right at your fingertips. Go to your Apple Store, your Play Store, whatever your device is. Get our free app, download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. So by now, everybody knows about H5N1, a.k.a. the avian flu, the bird flu, whatever you want to call this. This is spreading across America. In fact, we got a map. I want to show you this map here. This is a map to show you where all of the cases now of this H5N1 avian flu has allegedly been reported. Look at this. You see all these circles and the dark circles. These are, again, this thing is spreading almost across the entire United States. Even down here, you see it. It was found in a quote unquote dolphin in Florida. Whoever heard of bird flu showing up in aquatic mammal life? But it apparently showed up in a dolphin in Florida. It was also detected in a polar bear in Alaska. Yes, bird flu all the way in Alaska, all the way down in Florida. 85 cases of this were found in red foxes, among 221 cases there. And then, again, you have it on the West Coast. You have it up north. You have it in the midsection of the United States. So this is all over the place. Now, you may be wondering, why are we talking about this? Because we've discussed this several times. I do want to make a disclaimer. The information that I'm about to share with our audience does not necessarily mean that I 100% believe what the official narrative is being told to me, okay? I just want to make that known, because a lot of times we will get responses from people, emails, messages, whatever, telling us, why are you sharing fake news, or why are you repeating the narrative of the media? Guys, again, we are informing you of what's going on so you can properly prepare, discern, and do what you need to do with it, okay? So again, I just want to make that disclaimer. But here's what's interesting about this H5N1 bird flu. It has now acquired dozens of new mutations, and authorities have ramped up the level of fear that is associated with this virus. In fact, when hundreds of millions of birds were dying because of bird flu, the mainstream media really didn't even talk about it. They were pretty much, for the most part, silent about it. We're talking about poultry plants, chickens, turkey. They were slaughtering them, and because of this virus, but you didn't really hear much about this. Then the bird flu began infecting all kinds of mammals across the globe, and now the mainstream media is kind of talking about it. Every now and then you'll see a little blip here come up there. But once we enter the middle, because we're January, February, March, April, May, we're 5 months into the new year. We're nearly at the halfway point of 2024, which is an election year. Now, all of a sudden, the mainstream media has ramped up the talk, the reports, the fear-mongering of the bird flu. Now, we know that there's only been one confirmed human case in the United States, and we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to tell you what the what they're telling us about that one particular case in just a moment. The mainstream media seems to be pumping out report after report after report about the threat that H5N1 could potentially pose to humanity. In fact, there was a recent report from the New York Times stating that the H5N1 has acquired dozens of new mutations, and apparently some of these mutations make it more adept at spreading between species. Quote, the bird flu virus sweeping across dairy farms in multiple states has acquired dozens of new mutations, including some that make it more adept at spreading between species and less susceptible to antiviral drugs. This was according to a new study. Researchers are also informing us that the bird flu acquired mutations in late 2023 that allowed it to jump from wild birds to cattle in the Texas panhandle. We've talked about that. Researchers collected samples containing virus from 26 dairy farms across 8 states of the U.S. Cows are not typically susceptible to this type of influenza. However, the H5N1 appears to have acquired mutations in late last year that allowed it to jump from wild birds to cattle in the Texas panhandle. Then, the virus appears to have spread on dairy farms from Texas to Kansas, Michigan, and New Mexico. And at least a dozen instances, since that, H5N1 has also spilled from cows back into wild birds and into poultry, domestic cats, and even a raccoon. And of course, a dolphin. They discovered a dolphin, a polar bear. So this thing has gotten absolutely crazy. So let's pump the brakes here for a second and let's talk about this logically. In the past, when bird flu would surface, it would appear, it would be seen again spreading in birds. Again, different types of species of birds. It would eventually fade away or go away. You'd hear nothing about it. But now, for the past couple of years, it has been wiping out millions upon millions of birds across the planet with no end in sight. And now it's jumping to other mammals and even livestock. Now, why is this important? Because they're telling us, guys, that this could be a serious threat to our food supply. Anyone shocked by that? I mean, it's not as if there's been any emerging threats, disasters, or circumstances that has targeted our food supply in the past 2 to 3 years. Now, y'all remember that the only individual recently was a farm worker who caught the bird flu. He was a worker on a Texas farm who again caught the bird flu. According to the latest report regarding this individual, and I'm going to read this headline. This is from Express. First photo of Texas farm worker has emerged who caught bird flu, showing bleeding in his eyeballs. So here is what you're looking at. If you guys are listening by Apple or by Spotify, we are looking at the images of this alleged worker on this Texas farm. And after he contracted the bird flu, it caused bleeding in his eyes. Again, this is the first image that has surfaced. It is thought to be the first known case of mammal to human transmission and comes as the CDC warned bird flu viruses pose pandemic potential. Now, I want you all to keep all of these cards out on the table. Okay. Why? Because these cards are going to come into play later on when we get through this podcast. The dairy worker attended a hospital in March after experiencing painful red weeping eyes with burst blood vessels. His eyes began to swell up, though he had no fever and no examination showed his lungs, and an examination was done on his lungs and they were clear. This is according to a letter published by the New England Journal of Medicine. The journal also contained the image of the infected man alongside the scientific term for his eye condition called conjunctivitis with subconjunctival hemorrhage. Now, he told investigators upon, I guess they interviewed him, that he had not been in contact with sick or dead birds, but did have reported direct close contact with dairy cows in an area known to have infected herds. Swabs of his eyes revealed a substantial presence of the H5N1 virus, though little was found in his lungs. This has led to researchers considering whether he was infected through the eyes by rubbing them with contaminated hands or by being splashed with contaminated liquid, howbeit milk. Speaking of milk, according to NBC News, 1 in 5 samples of pasteurized milk had bird flu virus fragments. Now, this was from the FDA. 1 in 5 samples of pasteurized milk had traces of bird flu virus. The Food and Drug Administration reported recently that traces of the bird flu virus have been found in 1 in 5 samples of pasteurized milk, providing a more detailed picture of how much of the milk supply has been affected.
Virus is coming from birds to cow. And it, in the U.S., it is still under investigation.
World Health Organization says investigators don't yet know if cases are coming from a single entry point or multiple entry points, with the bird flu primarily infecting cows. The FDA says it's regularly testing hundreds of milk products and formulas. So far, none have been found to pose a serious health risk.
How much of the milk supply has been affected? The tested milk came from a nationally representative sample, with more of the positive results coming from milk in areas with infected herds of dairy cows. A spokesperson declined to say how many samples were tested. Well, that's comforting to know. As of a recent report, bird flu had been detected in 33 herds across 8 states. Here they are: Idaho, Kansas, Michigan, New Mexico, North Carolina, South Dakota, Ohio, and Texas. Richard Webby, I believe that's how you pronounce it, who is an influenza virologist at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, said the number of positive samples is consistent with numbers he's reviewed from smaller sample sets. Quote, but the number does seem high if the number of infected farms is indeed only 30. He went on to say that, quote, clearly there are more infected animals out there than being reported. Here's another report. This is from the Daily Mail. This is Dr. Rick Bright, who is a former HHS director, says that he will no longer drink milk from cows, period. He said, quote, I've studied bird flu for 20 years, and here's why I stopped drinking milk. Dr. Rick Bright warned that until there is more data that supports the safety, he is saying that this is just a minor inconvenience to pause his milk consumption. So he won't even touch milk because of this. Something to keep in mind here, folks, is this is not just this is not a journalist. This is not just some reporter. This is not just anybody. This is an individual. This is a virologist who has studied bird flu for 2 decades. And he's saying, I'm not touching cow's milk. He said, having worked with the virus for nearly three decades, he said, I've learned to respect it, and it surprises. The worrying comments come days after, again, what we just reported to you, the FDA finding traces of the virus detected in grocery store milk. There was, according to this report, there was separate testing done in Ohio suggesting nearly 40% of all milk in the stores could be affected. The report indicates that scientists are demanding more evidence from officials to prove that milk is even safe for consumption. Again, after this has been discovered, experts are particularly weary of assurances from public health bosses, as the FDA previously said the virus could not enter the milk supply due to pasteurization. Oh, now, how I wouldn't question the FDA now, would you? I mean, why are we questioning the FDA and the CDC and the WHO? I mean, they have always been so accurate in all of what they tell us. Now, I'm going to pull up another map here so you guys can, do you guys that are watching a visual of this, here is the locations of the 33 farms that have reported case of bird flu in cattle. So you can see them right here, North Carolina, Ohio, Michigan, Idaho, South Dakota, Kansas, New Mexico, Texas, all even up in places in Wisconsin, all a total of 33 farms across all of these states in the United States. Meanwhile, the United States, according to Reuters, is now testing ground beef and to see whether if bird flu outbreaks in dairy cows are impacting the ground beef. According to this report, the U.S. government is collecting samples of ground beef at retail stores in states with outbreaks of bird flu and dairy cows for testing, but remains confident that meat supply is safe. You do what you, whatever makes you sleep better at night, buddy, you do, you got to do what you got to do. Federal officials are seeking to verify the safety of milk and meat after confirming the H5N1 virus in 34 dairy cattle settles in 9 states since late March. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, will analyze retail ground beef samples with PCR tests that indicate whether any viral particles are present and conduct 2 other safety studies. According to a statement, some dairy cows are processed into ground beef when they grow old. According to Sarah Little, who is a spokesperson for the Meat Institute, she said, quote, the USDA's additional testing is appropriate to ensure public health is protected and to stop the spread of animal disease. Now, in the report, it says that the department said this weekend that testing is not required for cows that are shipped over state lines directly to slaughter facilities from barns where they are sold. Those cattle only need documentation showing that they were inspected by a veterinarian. Now, if you don't think that, if you don't think other countries are looking in and seeing what's going on and taking this serious, here's a report. Colombia becomes the first country to restrict U.S. beef. So they're pumping the brakes on this and saying, no, thank you. We don't want your beef. We don't want your tainted meat. And they're not taking any risk. The report says that Colombia has restricted the import of beef and beef products coming from U.S. states where these dairy cows have tested positive for this influenza. It is the first country. I wonder if any other countries will follow suit. Time will tell. But it's the first country to officially limit trade in beef due to bird flu in cows and a sign of broadening economic impact. Interesting. A sign of broadening economic impact of the virus that is restricted poultry trade globally. So isn't it interesting that something else is impacting the food supply? Here's another report. All this going on, over 80,000 pounds. Picture this, 80,000 pounds of deli meat. That is a lot of meat, guys. Over 80,000 pounds of deli meat has been recalled across multiple states due to lacking inspection. So stop. So we're supposed to feel safe and secure because they're inspecting the meat to make sure it's safe for consumption when over 80,000 pounds of deli meat has been recalled across multiple states because of lacking of inspection. Gee, that's not a bit asinine, is it? Consup North America Incorporated, which is a New Jersey-based firm, is recalling close to 100,000 pounds of sliced prosciutto produced in Germany for not being inspected properly. Retailers across the country, including stores in California, Connecticut, Florida, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Texas, Virginia, and Washington, all sold this recalled product. What happened? All this happened after it was discovered that Germany's Federal Office of Consumer Protection and Food Safety notified USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service that a German producer had shipped them without the benefit of equivalent inspection. Now, I wonder, now, of course, this is in Germany and it's being sold to the U.S., but I wonder how much meat is on shelves of your favorite grocery chain. And when I say meat, I'm talking about cow meat. I'm talking about cattle. I'm talking about pigs. I'm talking about poultry. How much meat is sitting on them shelves that has not been adequately inspected here in the U.S. or wherever it's shipped? And you wonder why there is a, and I'm not saying this is the whole reason, but I believe it is a big factor, a huge factor of where all this explosion of diseases, albeit cancer and other forms of diseases, are coming from and exploding in young people. And that a huge factor of this is the food that is being consumed. All right. So we got to, again, we got to pump the brakes, and I want to, we're going to recap some stuff here. So the mainstream media is telling us, the CDC, the World Health Organization, the FDA, all of these organizations are telling us that the H5N1 bird flu is it's increasingly mutating. It's continually to mutate. It's continuing to spread. It's jumped from birds to animals. And at least one individual has been infected with this. We know that multiple organizations are now, they're making it sound as if we could be on the precipice or the brink of a major outbreak among humans. I'm telling you, listen to the articles, read the headlines, listen to the reports coming from the news. Even cats, guys, in the state of Texas, there has been reports of cats that consume the raw milk from infected dairy cows in Texas, and they experience brain hemorrhaging and blindness. What? Again, these are new symptoms. These are mutated symptoms of this virus now causing, at least in cats we know of, brain hemorrhaging and blindness. So could this happen in humans? I mean, the man in Texas, his eyes were bleeding and hemorrhaging. What, you know, hopefully they caught in time. I don't know. I'm just saying, they keep sounding the alarm. They keep telling us, they're putting this on the forefront. And guys, please stick with me, because I'm getting ready to get to my final point in just a minute of where this could be leading up to. Now I want to get you to the final point. This is where I'm going to bring the conclusion to this program tonight. In just a few weeks, there is what's called the WHO Pandemic Agreement. I want to read this report, from the Washington Stand. Americans stand just weeks away from handing over massive amounts of taxpayer funding, protective equipment intended for U.S. citizens, and an incalculable amount of influence over U.S. policy to the World Health Organization. The global governing body will resume meetings to revise the WHO Pandemic Agreement. You need to remember that. The Intergovernmental Negotiating Body, or the INB, established to draw up the text of the agreement in December of 2021, will hold its ninth meeting. Its ninth meeting is being held from April 29th all the way to May 10th. So we're in the middle of this. That provides us over 2 weeks before the 77th World Health Assembly meets from May 27th to June 1st in Geneva, Switzerland, to ratify this final document. The most recent updated version of this proposal of this pandemic agreement appended on April the 22nd would redistribute wealth and protective equipment away from the U.S., establish a global governing board with little accountability to U.S. citizens, and critics are warning that watered down U.S. sovereignty over how it responds to future pandemics. The latest version of the agreement calls on nations to adopt a, quote, whole of government and whole of society approaches to pandemics. We talked about this, guys, but now we're literally weeks away from this being signed into place. This includes the private sector and civil society. Governments should carry out so-called education programs that will suppress competing narratives about the pandemic, as the U.S. government did during the last pandemic. Nations must also conduct research to determine what forces hinder or strengthen adherence to public health and social measures in a pandemic, such as masks and mandates. I'll let you guess what the mandates regard. The WHO makes clear it intends to involve itself far beyond the physical aspects of the outbreak. The latest agreement invokes the, quote, public health impact of growing threats such as CC, or earth changes is another term for CC, poverty and hunger, fighting pandemics. It states requires nations to, quote, achieve greater health equity by taking resolute action on the social, environmental, cultural, political, and economic determinants of health. Wow. Tell me that's not a broad spectrum there. This includes adopting a controversial one health approach. What is this? It attempts to balance the health of people, animals, and ecosystems as though all were equally valuable. Nations have the right to adopt legislation only in accordance with the Charter of the UN. The WHO Constitution and the principles of international law and their sovereign rights over the biological resources. They also may not make reservations that are incompatible with the object and purpose of the WHO pandemic agreement. Aside from insertions onto national prerogatives spelled out in the WHO pandemic agreement, the document establishes a, quote, conference of the parties, a group of unelected officials empowered to adopt new resolutions that will be legally binding upon signatories. The text makes the WHO pandemic arrangement easy to get into, but hard to leave. Once a nation signs on to the accord, it shall not be discharged from any obligations which occurred while it was a party to the WHO pandemic agreement, even after it withdraws. Quote, every nation shall also create a global health emergency workforce deployable to support upon request. Friends, can you see what this is forming? We're talking about a global governing body of officials from every nation that's going to get unprecedented power and authority to do basically whatever they want in the name of an emergency or a pandemic. Even the Family Research Council has concluded that this pandemic agreement puts in place the beginnings of a totalitarian state. Family Research Council official comment filed with the U.S. government warns that this pandemic agreement, as written and stated in its legalities, could authorize funding and support for abortion. The agreement obligates nations to assure the provision of essential healthcare services during pandemics, and critics say abortion can be held up as an essential service. All this is in the framework. It's in the fine print of this treaty. Now, don't you think it is very suspect that all of this is coming to fruition and the mainstream media is pumping out the fear-mongering of the bird flu, and it's spreading the cattle, it's spreading the dolphins, it's causing blindness and all kinds of crazy stuff in cats. It's mutating X amount of times. All of this is happening during an election cycle. I mean, does anybody else out there think that is just, it's intriguing? I'm sure it's just a coincidence though, right? So why is it essential for me to talk about this? Why did I even bring this up? Two reasons. One is because you need to be aware of what's going on, because if this thing jumps into let's just say again, according to the New York Times, this thing has already went through multiple mutations. They have been warning us that it's not a matter of if, but when disease X emerges. Could this mutate to disease X? I don't know. Could this explode into human-to-human cases? And now all of a sudden we've got not one worker, but 12, and then 24, and then it spreads across 8 states, and then all of a sudden all these dairy farm workers have contracted the virus, and cattle farmers have contacted the virus. All of a sudden it's mutating again. I'm just throwing out scenarios here. If this happens, I personally would not be shocked nor surprised whatsoever based on everything I just told you right now, based on what I know that they have prepared and put in place and all the nations are putting their signatures on, that again will all be set up and put in place for such a scenario to emerge. So would it be shocking if that happened? Number two reason why I'm telling you this is because if it does, if this was to happen, as a believer, does this shake my faith? No. Does it make me question the Bible? Absolutely not. In fact, your Bible warned about pestilences. Matthew 24, he said there will be pestilences, plural tense, as one of the signs in the last days that's going to help usher in the coming of the Lord. Now, it never said the source of the pestilences. It never states what the source of it is. So it could be natural. It could be man-made, manufactured. We don't know. We just know that based on the Lord's warning to us, there is coming pestilences in the last days. And we need to prepare accordingly. We need to know that it's in the Word and know that this, again, believe it or not, I believe everything we're telling you right now and what we're sharing with you today is yet another sign that this thing is wrapping up and closing up on all kinds of levels. And remember, yes, pestilences, we've covered that. But remember, guys, there has to be, in the last days, a forming of a final empire of Bible prophecy that will be ruled and controlled by the Antichrist, which, by the way, he will have a system set up where he'll be able to track every person on the planet. And we've talked about that. How's that going to happen? Whatever this system is of buying, selling, and trading that goes in the right hand and in the forehead, it is, don't miss it, it's going to be able to determine the health status of every person on the planet. All that information is going to be in that, whatever that is. A chip, a device, a digital tattoo, I don't know. But I know, again, based on the Word of God, that you won't not be able to buy, sell, or trade without the mark, the number, or the name of the beast. Okay? So all these, again, please don't forget to hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification, share this content, let people know, hey, need to be aware that it is an election season. Listen, in January, I think it was in the first of this year, we did a podcast called Get Ready, or I don't even remember the name of it, but basically I'm going to give you the sum of what we're talking about. It's an election cycle, so get ready for anything. Get ready for crazy, get ready for spectacular, get ready for anything, because it's an election season, and boy, has it met the expectations. Everything from crazy disasters, weather, plagues, pestilences, everything you could think of. And it's right on par for the time and season that we're in. And it, again, it shouldn't, this should not shake you in your faith. Because Jesus said in Luke 21:28, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. We're getting ready to sign off for today. Folks, we will be off tomorrow on Wednesday, May 8th, but we'll be back, Lord willing, May 9th and May 10th, which will be Thursday and Friday night. We're going to have some equipping messages, so get ready for that. I know many of you guys love those. We're going to have those unless something comes up that we feel like needs to be brought to the front stove and everything else put back to the back burner. But we plan on coming out here Thursday and Friday strong with some equipping messages. Guys, we want to again encourage you to download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. Get it today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. And again, if this ministry informs you, equips you, encourages you, all of the above, pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two easy ways: electronically through the app or the main website, or you can give by check or money order by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, we love you guys. We appreciate you. We thank you. Thank all of our partners, our intercessors, all of you guys who help us continue to do what we do week after week after week. Again, I can never express words for my gratitude for your partnership and for the blessings that you've bestowed upon our ministry. So we're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be right back here again in a couple days on Thursday, May 9th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, same time, same place, same channel. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.